Good morning. Was that an anthem, huh? Our Lord is great, powerful, glorious, wonderful. He deserves our praise. Dusty, yes, he does. And what a group of people to do. We appreciate the choir so much. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. It's a good way to start us. Well, you know, glad you're here with us. We love you. You know, old Jimmy Dean, he used to said, when you come visit us, he said, we'll treat you in so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. So we hope to treat you one way, and that's with love. We love you. And the good Lord loves you. Isn't that the wonderful thing? As wonderful and perfect as he is, he looks down on us unperfect creatures who he loves, and he forgives us. And we can mess up again sometimes. And if he'll ask us, if we'll ask him, he'll forgive us. You know, that's the wonderful thing about our God. He's ever loving, ever forgiving. But you got to love him back. You got to ask him. You got to ask him into your heart and try. But if you do, he'll be with you every step of the way. Well, it's good to have you with us. Several things going to happen this week. Again, the women are going to have their evening Bible study at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Then prayer meetings at noon on Wednesday. And then choir practice on 6:30. So not a terribly busy week this week, but if you're involved in those things, make sure you're a part of it. Another thing I wanted to say is the pastors locally had a meeting, and there are several things we're going to do as groups, churches together. And one of those things is going to be on May the 2nd. I think that's the first Thursday. It should be the first Thursday of May anyway. It's the National Day of Prayer. And they're going to try to get together again at the gazebo at 10 a.m. on that day, gazebo downtown, for a National Day of Prayer event here in West Jefferson. The churches all together and those that would like to participate in that. So try to mark that on your calendar, and we'll try to get you other reminders of that so you don't forget. If it rains, I'm sure there'll be an inside venue, but I don't know that yet. I don't know which one. I'm not in charge of it this year. The other thing we're going to do as a group is we're going to have Bible school together. So we need people. Right now we're looking for people. We're not looking for anything other than people who are willing to participate. It is July the 29th through the 30th. It is evenings, right? It is in the evenings, and on the 1st of August, there'll be a family fun night for the participants and other folks, and so it's called Breaker Rock Beach. It sounds like, I don't know too much about it, but it's going to be, it sounds like it's a beach theme or an ocean theme. So anyway, if you'd like, it's got different kinds of jobs you can do. You might be music, you might be crafts, you might just be a prayer warrior. Well, I don't say that way. You might be a prayer warrior, you might work when registered, something you can do, recreation. Look on the sheet and sign up. But they're looking for workers, so mark out on your schedule too, and put out on your calendar, so we don't say, "Oh, I forgot." Another thing are the emergency cards. Let's try to get those completed. That's for your benefit. It's if something would happen to you while you're on the church grounds, we know who to contact, how to contact, whatever. So if you would fill those out, they're out on the table in the lobby, and then leave that in the box there. Verna keeps track of those so that we have some way of getting hold of whoever we need to in case of an emergency. Another thing I wanted to say was, I'm going to say that next. Who lost? Did anybody lose a phone? Anybody missing a phone? Do I hear 5? Do I hear 10? 10, 20, 20? You think it's yours? Can you identify it?
Oh.
Okay, that's settled. Good to have that done. Glasses. Everybody watched the clips last week, and you have those glasses. What am I going to do with that? Well, I know what I did with mine. It was a mistake, but not for everybody. I took mine in to be recycled, and I didn't realize my wife was going to scrapbook hers. So I took hers in, too. But the glasses that you use to watch that eclipse, they are collecting, and you can bring them here to the church, and this next week, it's the only week I'm going to do it, though. Next week, bring them in, drop them off here, and I'll take them down to the water department in West Jefferson, who is collecting them, and they will be redistributed when the eclipse happens in southern South America or in the southern part of Africa where the children can't afford glasses for such and such, and they'll be redistributed to the poorer countries where they can use them to see the eclipse safely. Okay? So if you have them, you want to bring them in, lay them out there on the desk, and I'll take them all into the water office. Or you can do it yourself. Take yours into the water office or some other. I think some libraries and things are doing it. But they're recycling those so children can see the eclipse. Speaking of the eclipse, I'm going to end up with this. Life-changing event, huh? Well, I heard that said on it. It was kind of neat, wasn't it? It was pretty cool. But life-changing? I'm not so sure. I heard some people talking about it being a life-changing. He said, my little girl seen this, and it was a life-changing event for her. I don't know. Must have some kind of a boring life. I don't know. But regardless, you know, I can tell you what. There is a sun that blocks out your sin that will be a life-changing event. You ask the Son of God to blot out your sins, and though they were like crimson, you'll never see them again. Though they were like scarlet, okay? Though your sins are forests from the east to the west are gone. That's what Jesus, the Son, can do when he blots out, when he covers up that sin. And they don't come but show again. They won't show their face again in 4 minutes. They're gone. God bless you. We're glad you're with us. Have a wonderful day.
Can you hear it? Is it on? There we go. Let's sing. We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, lightening desire, burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the heavens, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river filling from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us. To see you, open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. We'll figure that one out, won't we? All right. Together, shall we? The book of Hebrews. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. By him, Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. Our praise to you, our lives we raise. Father, you are awesome in this place. Lord, the word awesome only belongs to you. You are an awesome God. We thank you for who you are and what you're going to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.
I didn't say anything. I was just pretending. Because I say good morning, everyone. I just wanted to see if you would already hear it without me even saying the word, because you're so used to saying, hearing that every Sunday morning. Dobro utro, I could say that to you as well, which is Macedonian or one of those kind of things. But I only know a few words just to impress people. So don't ask me to go any further than just a couple words. Everybody have a good week? I ask you that every week, too.
Yes,
sir. Oh, we got more good weeks happening now. A while ago, only one person had a good week, and the rest of us had horrible weeks, but now a few more have good weeks. We helped with Everett a little bit yesterday. He still has things to move, so the story on that is he has movers coming, but they're only moving big items, not the small items, and he has a lot of small items. So we're thinking a possibility of doing is just, because we have people driving back and forth, he doesn't know this yet, so if you're on there, Everett, this might be a surprise to you. If he's on Zoom, I don't know if he's here today, about getting a U-Haul. And just making one trip. So getting a U-Haul and then just have people show up and just load it and come over and unload it. Because if you are like me, you have a lot of things. Little things add up and it's like everywhere. So possibly this week you might get a notice saying, you know, we're going to try to get a U-Haul and then just take the stuff at one time. Because we've been taking trucks and trailers back and forth and back and forth. And that just gets monotonous after a while. So
does he need boxes?
Judy, does he need boxes or better just to take the stuff like it is? What do you think? So does he need boxes? We can let you know if he needs boxes. So, yeah. So that's the idea. Probably just try to help him out. He's having a hard time with his left hand. He's left-handed, so he's having a hard time moving his left hand, his leg, and so he might be in a wheelchair for say up to 12 to 18 months, possibly. I'm not sure. Depends how fast he recovers. So pray for him there. He's not able to do a lot, so he just kind of stands there and able to say, you know, take that, take that. But so it's kind of frustrating for him. And it'd be good to get it over as quick as possible. So I think if we could do that. I know Sue's been there and Judy and different ones, you know, Kathy and all kinds of ones have been there doing things and moving and all that kind of stuff. So if we could get there, make a concerted effort with a one-time thing and just be done, one and done, be better for him probably as well as stress level. So I think after tomorrow, the movers are coming to move big stuff. So once that's out of the way, we can find out, you know, what actually is really there to, that has to go. So you'll be contacted if you want to help. If you can, fine. If you can't, pray for us that are helping, that goes well. So, anything else this week going on? Oh, in the front row.
I had the privilege of going with Linda and Kelly yesterday. We went to a church that's down in Orient, Ohio, and I got to hear Linda's a little bit more of her testimony. And it was such a blessing. I think there were probably about 25 ladies there at least, and definitely moving. And I really liked the way she shared her testimony. She kind of talks about the three blessings in her life. And if you haven't heard about those three blessings, I'm going to give them to you because they're all B words, and you'll probably remember them because when you first listen to it, it's like, oh, bad, 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 three bads. And she's saying, these were blessings, and she talked about her blindness, and if you don't know that, she was not always blind. It really became complete in 2010, and she says, what a blessing that blindness has been as she's grown closer to God and experienced him. And then she talked about her breast cancer and coming up 6 years of breast cancer free. Is that right? Yep. And what a blessing. As she just grew to trust God more through that one. And then she talked about during the pandemic when she broke her back. And again, just how God got her through that and how. So those three bad things, and those are big bad things. And she just said, what a blessing and how big and great and awesome our God is. And I just praise God that Linda was willing to get out of her comfort zone again and be such a blessing to all of us as she shared these things.
And if you want to hear that special speaker, come to Primetimers next time, because she's going to be speaking for us. So you can hear her in person. Maybe get her autograph, something if you want to, too. Anybody else have anything they want to share this morning? Jesse Crook is back in the coop. Here we are.
Did you say back in the coop?
Yep, the coop.
Oh, guys, and it is so good to be back. And mostly I just love this choir. I mean, don't they, and all of you up there that make it happen. My sweet Orange Tree Bible Church in Naples, we have a real small choir, but this just really lifted me up, guys. And there's so many things, two in particular I want to be thankful for. One is our dear Verna, who kept me so connected to all of you in this church through the prayer, through the bulletin that I get. Verna, you are just a godsend to all of us. And I just think. And then also the one who I call Pastor Chris over there, being able to Zoom with her and several of you during the week, the months I'm down there, what a blessing. And I just think, you know, God is so good in so many ways. And it's wonderful to be back home. Love you all.
Hollydale. Yeah, Chris and I Zoomed yesterday. We Zoomed over to my daughter's, and then we Zoomed back home.
Thank you. So I just praise God every day. And Thursday night, I slid down the stairs and twisted my knee. And by the grace of God, my customer load was such that I didn't have to get down on the ground and try to get back up. And he gave me days of rest. And I kept praying that I would be able to sing today, because it's a blessing to be in the choir and to praise the Lord and to reach out to people to bring him closer to you. And I just thank God that he's healed my knee well enough that I could do that. He's a good God.
My daughter just wanted me to thank everyone for all the prayers that she's with all of her pain, and right now she's not pain-free, but it's tolerable, and she knows that God did that for her, and she was excited because her main nurse was named Linda, which is me, but the nurse, and then her grandchild is Wes, and her other nurse was Wes, so she felt family was with her all through the night.
Pray for a family that, lady's name is Loretta, but she passed away, so it was very strange. I was there working at her house. I put a ramp in for her and everything, and then I went back the other day. She wanted some grab bars put in the bathroom and things, so her son said, well, she might be going to the hospital on Friday, so she went to the hospital Friday, so I waited a few days and then got a call and said, well, she just passed away. So pray for that family that's going through that. I don't remember what her last name is. It's like Shrumkin or something like that. It's not Shrum, but it's some kind of a thing like that. But anyway, pray for that family. I think it was unexpected. She was an older lady, very nice lady, and so I was just thinking of her family today. Then we got the McAvoys and, you know, Donna and all the other ones that we're praying for. So you have your list in the bulletin. That's not just a list to take up space, but if you get a chance to go through that sometime, pray for those people. If you don't know a specific need, God does. So just say, you know, God be with this person on this list, and take care of their need, whatever it may be. My stepdad's got prostate cancer, so he's dealing with that. And he doesn't want to go through radiation, but he's going to go through the shots, which make him dizzy. So he's doing that. Plus, you know, all kinds of people having stress, a lot of stress from jobs. Caitlin's still waiting to hear for that job that I mentioned. We're hoping and praying tomorrow that she gets that job. So that'll be something that she loves to do. It's a corporate gym for tight bond glue. And she would be in charge of running the gym at the place, so it's something she loves and wants to do. So we're just praying she'll be able to get something like that. If God says no, then there's something better waiting. But hoping for news for that tomorrow. So pray for Everett's move. Guys are coming tomorrow, I said already, to do that, and then for how we're going to help them out if we can. So let's just pray this morning. Father, thanks you for being with us here. thanks for the sharing the good news that we've heard and what's happening, people speaking and people, you know, going through situations and coming out the other side better than they were before. For those who have lost loved ones, be with their family, the Loretta's family, those who are sick and afflicted, we know that we're all going to join you someday. We don't know how it's going to happen, but we're not going to live here forever. We're going to live in heaven forever. We just go back to what Russ said this morning. Lord, we need to accept you into our lives to be our Lord and Savior and to get us to heaven that way. We know that we're not perfect people. We make mistakes, but we know you help us to get past those mistakes, to confess those things we do wrong and try to be a better person through the power of your Spirit. So let us not make excuses, but make an effort to be more like you and give us your strength and direction. Show us how we can live for you. We can impact others, invite friends and family to know you. Pray that they go to church somewhere to have fellowship, whether it's here or somewhere else. It's not a competition for people coming to our place. It's a competition for people coming to heaven. And we're just asking that we can be a part of that. So open us up into situations that we can share with others. Help us to depend upon you and just show us the answers to prayers that you have for us in your name. Amen. Communion this morning, you'll have the option of having the bread and the juice or the little packet that it comes in. You can take whichever one you'd like. So when they're done taking up the offering, they're going to pass these out. We're also going to have prayer at the end of the service. For those who want to come up and pray for healing or pray for somebody else for healing or something like that. If you want to be anointed, we can do that as well. So at the end of the service, we're talking about Jesus heals, being the healer. Tells us to come and pray and lay hands on people. So we'll do that at the end of the service. If you want to do that, we'll have... probably Chris will come up and Kathy and Russ. Anybody else wants to pray for people? So if you want to come up at the end, I'll just invite you to come up. You can say if it's for yourself or somebody else. We don't have to know details. You can just say, I'm here for my friend Jeff or whatever it may be, and you know, pray for him or whatever you want to do. So if you want to do that, fine. If you want to be anointed, we can do that. If you just want to be prayed for, you can do that too. So that's just to look forward to. So if the guys want to come forward. do this in remembrance of me. You know, why are we doing this? We don't just do it because we do it. We do it because we're remembering what Jesus did for us and knowing what was going to happen. You know, even when it talks about when he came into Jerusalem, thought he was a king. He was a king, but he didn't say that he was the king. But he thought he was an earthly king, but he was not. He was a spiritual king who's going to rule the whole world eventually someday. But to go through that kind of punishment for us. And then to give his disciples an object lesson. You know, he took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. And he could have stopped there, right? He could have said, that's it. But he said, take and eat, remembrance of me, that my body was broken for you. So when they took the bread, took a piece and passed it around, they ate it so they could remember something physically as well. So take and eat, remembering his body is broken for you. Then he took the cup, said, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you. I wonder what they thought when he said that. But he said, take and drink, remember that my blood was shed for you. And why was it shed? To pay for our sins. Right? He took the sin on himself that was ours, and he paid that price. And then we get a thing that says paid in full, don't we? Paid in full. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for sacrificing your body, yourself for us, for bleeding, shedding your blood, taking the beating that we deserved as human beings for the things we've done. But you offer us forgiveness, cleansing. You offer to make us new. Give us a new life, a new start. Give us an eternity with you forever, knowing that those who have gone on, we can have the hope of seeing them again, and we thank you for that. Thank you for what you've done and what you continue to do for us, for letting us remember you each time we take communion. In Jesus' name, amen.
And 11, it states, be still and know that I am God. I will exalt among the nations. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. The song I have is Be Still, My Soul. Change, he fails.
Thanks, Steve. I like that. You get to start over. I'm going to turn this one off. Turn this off. Dan, turn the green one off. We're color-coded back there. I'm maize and blue. That's my color back there. Oh, I love it. What would you do without that? Just a little bit of razz in here and there every time, you know? Kind of keeps you going, doesn't it? Gets you excited and blood pressure going and everything else. That's what you say. I say the same thing, so we're equal. Remember last week that Jesus and his disciples had been to Samaria, where he talked to the woman at the well and told her about his life. So we're continuing on. Russ, are you sweaty? Put your shirt down. Put your shirt down, Russ. Nobody wants to see that. He showed me a big zero back there with the red. I don't know what that means. Anyway, he offered her living water and told her who she was. And I think any of us would be kind of surprised if somebody came up and told us things that nobody else should know. But he told her these things. And then she, in turn, told the townspeople who went out to meet him. And he shared with them. They asked him to stay for 2 days, during which time they were saved. So now we're in chapter 4, verse 43 is where we're starting at. It says, after 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And when he arrived in the Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, and they'd seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. So we know he stayed 2 days with the Samaritans, and now he's heading on to Galilee. He arrives and he's welcomed, so why does verse 44 say Jesus himself pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country? It kind of seems out of place, doesn't it? Because he was welcomed, but he's talking about his own country, so... Bible reference, and I try to use different references when I do a message, try to find out different sources of information, different pastors sometimes, different talks, different commentaries and things to try to get the view, because sometimes views are conflicting, and you just have to kind of go the middle road because you're not sure which view is totally correct. So it seems very odd that the statement was added at this part of the story. The comment about a prophet's lack of honor from his hometown is something other gospels record from Jesus as well in Mark 6, 4 and Luke 4, 24. Most English translators place the word in parentheses since it clearly appears to be a side note, but the connection to this story is not immediately clear. It goes on to say, Jesus is traveling from Judea into Galilee after spending 2 days teaching the Samaritans of Sychar. Verse 43 mentions a departure, and verse 45 refers to his arrival in Galilee, but the upcoming events don't seem to indicate much rejection. In fact, in verse 45, it says he's welcomed. So when Jesus has his next confrontation, it's going to be with the Pharisees in Jerusalem, as recorded in John 5. All of this raises the question of what John means by this remark and why he included it in this place. So you think about, why did he put this in here? Why is this even in there? It's like you're talking about something else, and then you say, oh, yeah, the fruit, it looks good today. And you're like, what? So there's this background to why he's putting it in. It says, scholars offer several ideas, and the most reasonable is that Jesus is returning to the region of Galilee, but not to his hometown in Nazareth. Verse 46, that Jesus returned to the town of Cana, where he performed his first miracle. Now, Nazareth, however, is closer to Sychar than Cana. Jesus would have passed right by it. And we'll see that once Jesus arrived in Cana, he's there long enough for an official to hear about his arrival and make a journey to see him. Cana and Capernaum are about 25 miles apart, so this was a short time. But this would put Jesus' remarks about a prophet's honor in context, because Jesus is going to Galilee, in the region, but bypassing his hometown of Nazareth, since the people there have no particular interest of his message. So he's saying that as a side note, say, I'm going to bypass Nazareth because they're not going to recognize me there. They don't really care about my message. So it talks about a prophet not being recognized in his own place. And we see that sometimes with people, don't we? Their hometown doesn't recognize who they are or say anything about them. But everybody else thinks they're great, but their hometown is like, well, we don't really care about that person. So that's kind of where he's at. It says, once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. So he says he goes back to Cana where he did his first miracle, right? He turned the water into wine. John 2, it says that he performed signs at the Passover feast. It doesn't tell us what the signs were, but they must have been miraculous. So people spread the word because a royal official that was 25 miles away heard about it. Interesting, isn't it? Didn't have telephone and telegraph. They told somebody else who told somebody else who told somebody else, which is basically the scriptural way of teach your children, right? And then tell them the history, tell them what's happened, tell them your life, and that's going to be passed on. So this guy, instead of sending a servant, which I wondered, why didn't he just send a servant to go to Jesus? Because it was that important to him that it was his son that was dying that he wanted to be there in person. He went to see him himself. I'm not going to send somebody else. This is too important. I can't send somebody else. I got to go myself to make sure this is done. He wouldn't entrust it to somebody else. This was his son. It says he begged Jesus to come and heal his son. He wanted Jesus to come and lay hands on him and pray for him. And we believe it's important to pray for people, right? Lay hands on people, anoint people with oil. It tells us scripturally to do that. But this guy wanted a personal invitation, didn't he? He wanted Christ to come personally to do this. He thought Jesus had to be there in order for it to happen. We don't think that, do we? We don't have to have Jesus stand next to us when we pray. We say, God, your Holy Spirit, come and help us, heal us, whatever you may want to happen. We're kind of in that guy's place right now, aren't we? God, I need healing. But Jesus is not here standing next to us, but he has the power to heal, even though he's not right there. But this guy didn't know that. So Jesus says to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said, go, your son will live. So he's suggesting that people won't actually believe in him or trust in him without seeing a miraculous event. And that's what people want to see today. They want to see events, miracles. They want to see all these things happen when they don't realize all around us miracles are happening all the time. Right? When that piece of wood flew off that thing and just missed the side of your head. Or when you hit your head or whatever it was and you just missed that. Or you just missed that car accident. Or you could have had this sickness, but it wasn't as bad as what you thought it was going to be and those kind of things, right? Miracles happen all around us, but we don't always recognize those. But these people wanted to see things happen and happen and happen, is what he's saying. He then asks a miracle seeker to act in faith and leave without any proof that it was going to be granted. So think about that. You're this guy, and Jesus says, go, your son's well. And you're like, what? You didn't even do anything. You didn't even come with me. You didn't go there. So he says to the guy, you have to just go. He didn't even give him an explanation, did he? He didn't say, if you do this, do that. He just said, go, your son's going to live. He's going to be well. As it turns out, the man has actual trusting belief and faith and obeys. It says the man took Jesus at his word and he departed. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? To take God at his word and then do what he tells you to do or just believe it's going to be okay. Sometimes in our lives, you know, we get in situations where things are bad. Sometimes it's hard to know if God is faithful, if we can trust him. But this guy, he just says simply go, and the guy says, okay. And he leaves. Didn't have a cell phone, didn't have a text, didn't have any way of contacting people to say, hey, is it okay? Is he well? He just left. Matthew 17 talks about faith the size of a mustard seed, which is tiny but can accomplish great things. You see illustrations all the time about a mustard seed is really tiny. And then it grows into this humongous thing. So he's talking about our faith basically starting out small. And then as we learn to trust him, and water it, right, with our belief, it grows bigger and bigger so we can trust him for bigger things, which is where this guy was at. Hebrews 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. A lot of things today is you have to see it to believe it, right? You've got to see it, or else how am I going to believe? I don't see it, I don't believe it. But he didn't have to do that. He was believing in faith at that time. Took Jesus at his word. So the question is, was he trusting himself or was he trusting the Lord? He trusted God. He said, well, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm just going to go, and I'm going to trust you. If we ask Jesus for something and we don't get it, does that mean he doesn't love us? Or does that mean he can't do it? No, it means that's probably not the right thing at the right time. We don't always get everything we want. As kids, we know that. As adults, we know it too, don't we? Sometimes you think, when I'm an adult, I'm going to get whatever I want. And you're like, yeah, it's not going to happen. Fill out your taxes one day. I've been doing that for the last 3 or 4 days. Thinking, wait a minute, why are you taking that? You already took that. Now you're taking that. And you have to just kind of smile and say, okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. But one day I'm not paying you when I'm in heaven, not here, okay? If you don't pay him here, you're going to be in jail. Sometimes no just means that God didn't answer the way we desired. You know that my mom passed away in October. She'd suffered for several years with things like broken bones, pneumonia, COPD. She had all kinds of stuff. She'd be in the hospital. She'd get back out of the hospital. She would go into rehab. She would almost be well. They'd send her home. She'd get sick again. Then she'd go back in rehab, and it just was a continuous cycle. She finally ended up having aspirated something in her lungs. She got an infection. She had her spine was degenerating. She was in excruciating pain. We prayed for recovery. Sure, we did. We wanted her to get well. We wanted her to get better, be back home, and all those kinds of things. Did that happen? Yes, but not on this earth. She passed away. I was there when she passed away, you know, the thing. We knew she was going to heaven. We talked to her. She knew God in the way that she would know him the best. I know she's not on this earth again, but I know she's not suffering. She's not in pain. She's not in sorrow. But did she get healed here? No. Does that mean God didn't answer my prayer? No, he did answer my prayer. She got healed in the best way possible. She got healed in heaven forever, for eternity. She's not going to suffer or be in pain anymore. So sometimes we think if God doesn't answer our prayers right now to be healed in this life, that they're not answered. He's saying, I have something better in store. I'm going to give her a healing that nobody else can give her. And then I have the hope, and we have the hope, that we're going to see our loved ones again. And we look forward to the day when we're going to see them whole again, not suffering, not in pain, not laying in the bed, not struggling. We're going to see them whole and walking around and talking and rejoicing and those kind of things. So that is a healing, even though it doesn't take place now, it takes place. And then sometimes he heals us now, doesn't he? People have different kinds of addictions, and they say, for some people, it's like, yep, the next day it was gone. Other people say, I struggle with this my whole life, but I'm walking with God in faith that I'm getting through it. Some people have all kinds of pains, right? One person you pray for, the pain goes away. Next person you pray for, it doesn't go away. But your faith, like Chris talked about Linda's 3 B's this morning, those bad things can be blessings, that we look at them as a blessing and not as a thing that God's punishing me or I'm going through this, but that God has blessed me with these things that helps me go through, that I can share with other people that it's possible to make it through because God is there. And then it says, while he was still on his way home, his servants met him with the news that the boy was living, and when he inquired at the time his son got better, they said yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. If you look in some of these versions, they say at the 7th hour. There's Roman time and then there's a Hebrew time. One was 7 o'clock in the morning and one was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Depends on which one you're talking about. So this is talking about the same time, just a different interpretation of which calendar they were using for that. So after the man trusted and obeyed, then the news came. God wants us to obey first, then he sends us the news or the blessing a lot of times. He can't say, you know, I want you to do this and this, and you just sit home and say, okay, are you going to bring the people to me? It doesn't happen. We don't say in the church, we're just going to sit in church and hope people come in. We're not going to talk to anybody, but God's going to send them right in our doors, and we're going to do nothing until they just come in, and we're going to say, hey, look at all these people that came. He tells us to go out and make disciples, doesn't he? Go out and share with people. Go out and talk to people. Go out and start a conversation with somebody. Maybe it doesn't happen the first time. Maybe you talk to this person for a year, and then sometime they say, hey, you know, you're a little bit different. What's going on? Why don't you get upset about this? Why doesn't this bother you? And then you say, well, because I accept the Lord. You know, I was a horrible person before this, but God's changed my life. He's made me into what I am today, and hopefully I'm getting better. So he acted on his faith, and as a result, he was met by the servants with good news. He said, the fever's gone. Your son is doing well. So can you imagine that? He's on his way home thinking, man, this guy told me to go. My son's going to be well. Wonder if it's really happening. Or maybe he just said, yeah, I know it's going to happen. I don't know what his thought process was. I'd be like, oh, I'm praying this is going to be good news when I get home. But he got halfway there, And they came and said, hey, guess what, boss? Your son's doing great. What time did that happen? Well, 1 o'clock. That's exactly when Jesus said it was going to happen. And as a result, it says, then the father realized this was the exact time at which Jesus had said, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. As a result of that one act, that guy's faith, Jesus answered to his prayer. He and his whole household believed. And I bet the whole town knew about it. I bet all the kids' friends knew about it. I bet all their relatives knew about it. That Jesus healed my son. He was going to die, but Jesus healed him. And we believe in him because of what he'd done. That would help that man's faith skyrocket so he can go through whatever's going to come up next. It was a monumental event in the boy's life, the family's life. And it had a ripple effect, I'm sure, from that time on. And somebody would say, this is the boy that was going to die, but he's well. And then later on when he was a grown man, he could have said, you know, I was about ready to die at that point, but God changed my life. He gave me life again, and that's why I'm here today. Can you imagine the stories that would go on from that point on about this kid and what happened? That's why it's important for us to share what Jesus has done for others to be able to hear, and also to share answers to prayer. When God answers a prayer, we need to share that to encourage other people that God does still answer prayers, that he's still alive, he still does things. Not that we say, would you pray for that? And then we never hear what happens. Like, well, whatever happened to that? And then like a year later, well, yeah, this was the result. Oh, okay, well, it would have been really great if you'd have said when the answer came, this is what happened. So we know. We were in Australia. We prayed every, I think it was Thursday. I can't remember what day it was. We'd go to church and pray. Several guys would go there. We had a list of cards. And then when the prayer was answered, right on that card, you know, January 5th, 1993, whatever the date would be, you know, 2005, whatever. So you would see prayer answered, so they kept another part, answered prayer. Then when you got discouraged, because it seemed like nothing was happening, go to the back of the box, and you'd say, oh, he answered that prayer. He answered that prayer. He answered that prayer. And it's an encouragement to do that. Could be something maybe you're going to do. This is what I've been praying about. And then when he answers it, you put it somewhere. And then when you're feeling like, oh, man, God, where are you? You pull those things out, and you say, oh, yeah, here you are. You answered this, you answered this, you're faithful. May not be time yet, but you're faithful in answering the prayers. Last verse says, this was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem to one of the festivals. So he was in Canaan, he went to Jerusalem for a festival. We don't know what festival it was. Some people think it was the Passover, but it doesn't say what festival it was. It was one of the festivals. Now they're in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, a pool in which Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Now, I looked up this idea about the sheep gate because it sounded kind of weird to me. I'm like, oh, so the sheep just go in and out of here, and this is the gate for the sheep, so you let sheep in. Well, a guy named Reverend Tim Gibson says this. He said it was called the sheep gate because it led out to the sheep markets where the lambs were sold for sacrifices in the temple. And in the sheep pool where sheep were washed for sacrificing, and later became the pool of Bethesda. So they're saying the sheep came in, they washed them clean before they were sacrificed. So people were hoping to get into this pool to be made clean. So it says a great number or multitude of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. They believed that when the waters were stirred, they'd be healed. We don't really know for sure what that was. Was it an angel stirring the water? Was it bubbling from the minerals or whatever it was? We don't know for sure what that was necessarily. We're not told, but the people came there seeking healing. So it says, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he said, do you want to get well? Seemed like an obvious question, doesn't it? Do you want to get well? Yes, I want to get well. What do you think I'm laying here for? I don't know what the guy said, but he probably said, yes, I want to get well. Notice in this case that Jesus goes to the man to ask him. Case before this, the ruler went to Jesus. The rich guy comes to Jesus and asks for help for his son. Jesus comes to the poor guy and asks him, do you need help? Covers the whole spectrum, doesn't he? Jesus coming to him coming to Jesus. Maybe it's Jesus' way of saying, I'm the true healer, not through water here. But he talked about the living water with the woman at the well. I'm the living water you need. Getting in that pool is not going to do anything except make you wet. But what I'm going to do is make you well. The invalid replied, Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes in ahead of me. And then Jesus says to him, Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Doesn't even say Jesus touched him, does it? Didn't pour anything on him. Didn't even pray for him necessarily. It just says, get up and walk. Just shows he has so much power, he doesn't have to do anything except speak. And the guy got up. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, this guy's been here for 38 years, and he's just going to get up and walk? I don't know what happened, but in my mind, the guy's like, you're trying to see what it's like to be balanced. Was he like that, or did he just get up and walk right away? I don't know. Whatever it was, he got up and walked around. Did you ever see that movie? Well, it's a Santa Claus. Not that I'm promoting Santa Claus movie. But there's a part in there, it says, put one foot in front of the other. He's talking to the old, I don't know, the white guy, whatever he is with the beard. Some kind of, what is he? What's the white guy called, you know? There's an evil brother and the good brother. Yeah, the snowman guy. And he says to him, put one foot in front of the other and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other and soon you'll be walking out the door. You'll never get where you're going if you never get up on your feet. Come on, there's a good tailwind blowing. A fast-walking man is hard to beat. And I'm thinking of this guy, like, dude, he's like one step in front of the other. And he's like, woo, baby, look at me, I'm walking around. And people are like, weren't you the guy that was just laying there? And he's like, that's me. That's me. But I'm walking around. So the guy got up and walked around, and people were like, what's going on with this guy? It says, the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. So the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, it's a Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. And he replied, the man who made me well said, pick up the mat. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? Are you a nut? I'm walking around. Who cares if I'm carrying my mat? They didn't necessarily care about the healing. They cared about that he was carrying his mat around. He was breaking the law. Not that he was miraculously healed. And to me, I'm like, what is going on with you people? You are so focused on the physical that you're not looking at the spiritual aspect of what just happened here. Well, the law says this. You're healed, big deal. But the law says don't carry your mat. That just blew my mind when I'm reading that. It says, so they ask him, who's this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was because Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. So to me, this thought came to me. The eyes of legalism could not see the miracle of the Spirit. They were so legalistic, they missed the point that the man was healed. All they could see that he was carrying his mat around. And that says, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. And the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. Now they knew who it was, didn't they? Jesus made me well. They probably still went and said, yeah, but you're still carrying your mat. I have no idea why. He says to him again, you know, stop doing what you're doing. You may be in a worse condition than you were in before. The things of the physical world are temporary, but spiritual things are eternal. We can be healthy physically and sick spiritually. Amen. We can be healthy spiritually, sick physically, but sick spiritually. There's so many healings in the Bible. I'm not going to list them all, but Jesus also healed the man with the evil spirit, Paul's mother-in-law, the man with leprosy, a centurion servant, a paralyzed man, lowered through the roof, raised the dead, did all kinds of things. He can heal physically, but his focus was on the spiritual. He did the physical to get their attention, to show them this could happen. Look what power that I have. But he focused on the spiritual. You need your life to be changed. You need to be believing in me, right? Doesn't matter how much money you have, how nice you look, whatever it is, you got to believe in me. The royal official's case we talked about, He came to Jesus. In the second part, Jesus came to the paralytic. So we pray and ask Jesus to heal us, whether it be here or in heaven. It's nice if it's here, we can see it. If it's heaven, we'll see it again someday. But at this time, we're going to offer time for prayer. If you want to come forward for prayer, for yourself or somebody else, come forward. It's going to take a few minutes. Pam's going to play. And I'll have Kathy, Russ, and my wife at least come up forward. If people want to be prayed for, we'll do that. So if you want to do that this morning, do that. Then we'll close in prayer, and then we have a final song. So if you want to be prayed for some reason, then come forward for yourself or somebody else. Doesn't have to be just for you.
Matthew 26 says they got together like this and they sang a song and went out. Let's do that, shall we? Go out and serve the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.
Go out and serve the Lord this week. Amen. Thank you.